How did I end up here? That's a question that Ron Cummings probably asked himself as he sat in Texas prison. How did I get here? You see, Ron's father told him that some people were just born bad. And Ron knew his dad was really talking about him. Ron had been in trouble with the law from a really early age. But all that came to a sudden stop after a life of sin and rebellion when a judge in Dallas, Texas sentenced Ron to 105 years in prison. Ronnie was married. He had 4 children. But you know what? He didn't really care. In his mind, he thought that the only person he was really hurting was himself. That's a lie. Ronnie escaped from prison in 1988. His grand plan was to party until the police caught up with him, but he had no intention whatsoever of going back to jail. God had another plan for Ronnie. The police did catch up with him. They raided his motel room, and they had Ronnie in handcuffs before he could even put up a fight. They returned him to prison, and the judge sentenced him to an additional 25 years in jail. When Ronnie got back to prison, he began to suffer from horrific nightmares. Ronnie would dream that he was underground, and it was cold, and it was dark, and it was cramped. And he would dream that he was in a casket. And in his dreams, he would kick, and he would claw, and he would try to get out. And these nightmares just plagued him. And eventually, they had to take Ronnie to the psychiatric unit at the prison. And while Ronnie was there, there was just nothing to do. While he was there, one day he finally asked the guard for something to read. Just a simple, simple request. But the guard said no, he wasn't supposed to give him anything. And for whatever reason, that was the breaking point for Ronnie. He flew into a rage. You see, he had lost everything. He had lost his freedom. He had lost his wife. He had lost his children. He hadn't had a visit in over 7 years. He hadn't even had a letter in 5 years. He flew into this rage and he passed out in the middle of this. And when he woke up, he looked over by the door, and someone had put a little brown book, just like this one, at the door. And Ronnie walked over, and he picked up the little book, and he opened it up, and he looked in the back, and he saw something there that he hadn't heard in a long, long time. At the very top of the page, it said, "God loves you." It had been years, years since anyone had told Ronnie that he loved him. He didn't stop reading. He read on down. And at the bottom of that page, he saw where it says in Romans 10:13, where it says, "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And you know, right there and right then, Ronnie just fell on his knees and he cried out to God. And he said, "I've made such a mess out of my life, and I need some help. Can you help me? Will you help me? Can you make these nightmares go away?" And Ronnie got real with God right there. And God came into his life. Jesus Christ saved him right then and right there. And things began to leave Ronnie. Things that had been part of his life for so, so long just began to go away. And others around him began to see a change in Ronnie too. They began to see that he was somehow different. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, then he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And Ronnie had become new, and other people began to see it. And it wasn't long they returned Ronnie back to his cell block, his old cell block. And he asked for the chaplain. And he went to see the chaplain. And you see, Ronnie didn't know about the Bible. He wasn't raised in a church. And he wasn't able to understand doctrine and theology, but he knew something had happened to him. And he sat down with the chaplain and he said, "What's happened?" And the chaplain drummed. He explained. He said, "You know, Ronnie, when you called out to Jesus, he did save you. And you're different. You'll never be the same. You don't have to worry anymore." Ronnie had a peace and he had a joy that he had never had before in his whole life. And he wanted to keep it. He was so worried that he was going to slip back into his old ways, or he was so worried that these nightmares would come back. And Chaplain Drum explained to him, he told him, you know, in Hebrews 13:5, we're promised that God promises us. He says He'll never leave us or forsake us. And Ronnie found comfort in that. 3 years after Ronnie had found the Lord, he got a letter out of the blue. And it was from the Texas Board of Pardon and Parole. And he opened the letter and read it, and it said he had been paroled. And he said, this just isn't possible, you know, for someone with the time that he's supposed to serve. And he took it to the chaplain, and the chaplain said, no, I think this is a mistake. But they made a phone call, and the chaplain said, Ronnie, you know, this is real. You're going to be pardoned. You're going to be paroled. And a year after Ronnie was released, God restored Ronnie's relationship with his wife and his four children. And today, Ronnie goes back to those same prisons, and he shares God's word with the people who are there and that need him. There's a lot of power in God's word, isn't there? Do you know who the Gideons are? Gideons International are an organization of professional and businessmen that was founded in 1898. Long time, over 100 years. And the Gideons are really just an extension of the church. In fact, to be a Gideon, you have to be a member in good standing of a local evangelical church. Our goal as Gideons and as an organization is really very, very simple. The only thing that we want is to help win others for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. And we do that by distributing His Word. So, the what we do is just that. We do distribute God's Word. Probably we're best known, the Gideons are best known, by what Alan spoke about you go to a motel or a hotel and you look there by the nightstand, and what do you find? You know, you find a Bible. Sometimes it says placed by the Gideons, or the Gideons are best known for that. But we put Scripture in many other places. Scriptures are put in hospitals, at doctor's office, and dentists. Scriptures are put in the hands of emergency service personnel, whether it's EMS or firefighters. Our troops are given Scriptures. So, in 194 countries around this world, you'll find the Gideons. And in those places, you'll find us having Scripture in 93 different languages. Last year, the Gideons placed 84,083,388 Scriptures around the world. That's a pretty precise number. And I think it's important because every single one of those counts. Every one of those Scriptures has the potential to change a life. So they're all important. And 84 million Scriptures sounds like a lot. But you know, they say that this world has over 4 billion unsaved people. 84 million Scriptures isn't a drop in the bucket, is it? Why do we do it? Why are all of us... Why do we do what we do? Why do we want to share God's Word? God puts that inside of us. He also commands us to do it, doesn't He? You know, in Matthew 28:19, He tells us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We're told to do it. We also believe as Gideons that God's Word is infallible. We believe it's without error, and we believe it's inspired by Him. And so, we know people can't fix themselves. God can fix us. And we want to make sure that the people of this world who don't know the Lord, we want to make sure that they have a copy of God's Word and someone who can put that in their hands and share a word of witness to them. Do you ever feel like you're in a little bit of a rat race, trapped in the rat race of life? I do. There's a guy named Richard. He felt that way too. He was consumed by his job. He had little time for anything else, and really didn't have much time for God in his life either. He had a wife and he had some children, and they put up with his short temper. They also put up with him not being around home too much. And you know, Richard was out on the road one week, and he checked himself into a hotel. And as soon as his mind had just been racing, I think, the whole week. And he was just frustrated with life. I think that's the short way of saying it. And he was thinking about what had happened that week and what was going to happen the next day. And what did it all really mean? So sometime in the middle of the night, Richard was laying in bed, and he woke up. And as he woke up, he just had this feeling of despair. And he was shaking almost uncontrollably. And he didn't really know what was happening to him. He knew he was scared, but he didn't know what to do. He wanted comfort. He didn't know exactly how to get it. But you know what? He remembered that in the nightstand, there was probably a Gideon Bible. And he reached over there in the nightstand, and sure enough, he found the Bible. And he pulled it out, and he started to read. And he read a few hours, and he was comforted by what he read. He was comforted by God's Word. And I'm sure God put in his hands the message that he really needed at that time. You know, at some point during the night as he was reading, Richard just fell to his knees. And he told God, he said, "You know, God, I need you to take charge of my life. I know what's going on right now isn't what you want for me. There's more than this." And he said, "I can't do it anymore on my own." He went to bed, fell asleep, went to bed. The next morning he woke up, and for sure he was weak and he was drained. But you know, he felt somehow different. And it was a turning point in his life. And he knew that the Holy Spirit had been with him that night in that hotel room. Richard's life today is different, as you might imagine. He's active in his church. He doesn't miss a Sunday. And recently he answered the call to become a Gideon himself. And he focuses some of his time now in sharing God's Word and spreading the Scripture. There was a gentleman named Dean Matter. It's another testimony about the power of God's Word. Dean Matter was born on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio. Dean's father was an atheist. His father used to almost brag about never having stepped foot in a church. Not for a funeral, not for a wedding. Dean had a rough life. When he was 11 years old, he joined a gang. That was the same year his mother left. He was arrested for stealing a car before he was in the 6th grade. At the age of 14, he was sent to the Elmira State Reform School for stabbing a man. And he spent his whole junior high and high school years there. At the age of 18, he joined the Marines, because if he had not have joined the Marines, he would have had to remain in the Reform School. They sent him to boot camp and then promptly to Vietnam. He did a tour in Vietnam. He came back home. He was violent. He was angry. He was unhappy. He was addicted to drugs and alcohol. On his 21st birthday, Dean celebrated that event in the Lake Tahoe jail. And it occurred to him while he was there that he had fulfilled his mother's expectations, because his mother had told him by the time he was 21 he'd either be dead or in prison. It's a sad life. When Dean served his time there, he had 4 months because he had stolen credit cards. When he served his time, he got out of the Lake Tahoe jail, and he began to look for answers. He knew there must be something more to life. He went to California. And when he got to California, he tried every kind of cult you can imagine. He looked everywhere you could possibly look to get some peace. He looked everywhere but inside of God's Word. No answers. Couldn't find any answers. He finally met a young girl, and he talked her into dropping out of school. And they had a big plan. You see, he thought that since this country was relatively new and these problems were old, that he needed to go maybe to the Far East, maybe even the Mideast. He needed to go somewhere where there was a lot older culture, because for sure they would have better answers. So their big plan was, she dropped out of school, they hitchhike across the U.S. They were going to catch a ship somewhere from Florida and try to make it to the Mideast and get answers for what they couldn't understand. They made it across the country. They got into Florida, and they got arrested for trespassing. And each of them got put in a Florida jail, a men's correctional facility and a woman's. And while in jail, Dean was a smoker. And he didn't like to borrow cigarettes from anyone. So during the day, he would collect cigarette butts. And at night, he would unroll the tobacco out of those cigarette butts, and he would re-roll his own cigarettes. And at 21 years old, the first Bible that Dean had ever had in his hands, he got in a jail, and he was using the pages out of that Bible to re-roll his own cigarettes. But thank God, at the same time he was doing that, he was reading the Gospel of John. And Dean could not understand how God could love him with all the things that he had done in his life. He just couldn't get it, but he kept reading. And God kept talking to him. And finally one day, Dean dropped to his knees in that jail cell one night, and he just told God he had to have some help. He just couldn't do this anymore. He doesn't understand it, but he wants him to come into his life. And Jesus saved him. He saved him right then and right there. When Dean finally got out, when he surrendered to God, and he finally got out of the jail, he met up with the lady that had traveled with him. And she too had explained how, while in that Florida jail, she had also come to find Jesus Christ, and how it had made a difference and changed her life as well. Dean is now married to that lady. Her name is Deborah. And the Reverend Dean Mattern has been preaching God's Word for many, many years since then. And there's just no way to know how many lives, in addition to himself and his wife, have been touched from just one scripture that made its way to him in that jail. As I said, you know, the Gideons are an international organization. We're not just about putting Bibles in hotels in this country, but in 194 countries. And there was a testimony that we heard about some Gideons who were spreading God's Word in El Salvador. It's a Spanish-speaking country, Central America. And these little blue testaments are, they're actually in Spanish. They were there at an elementary school, and that morning they had passed out a lot of scripture to the children at the elementary school, and in the afternoon they were going to go back and catch the kids as they were coming out of school. And when they went back that afternoon, they had noticed that that there were a lot of pages that were torn out and just laying, you know, around the ground. And they went up and they picked up, obviously some of the kids maybe had just torn up some of God's Word, but they picked up these pages and they went on and they made the distribution that afternoon. Everything had gone well, and they just, on the way back home, they decided to stop by a store very near the elementary school. And on the way in the store, they saw one little young boy, maybe 10 or 12 years old, who was sitting on the doorstep crying. And one of the local Gideons asked the young boy, said, "What's wrong?" And the little boy just looked up at him, and he was crying, and he said, "Can you tell me about this man named Jesus?" And in his hand, he had one page of scripture that had been torn out. Just a torn out page of scripture. And he wanted to know about Jesus, this guy he'd been reading about. So one of the Gideons, of course, stayed there and began to share with him. The other ones went inside, and as soon as they walked inside the store, there was an older gentleman who was also crying. And they asked the older gentleman what was wrong, and he said, "You know, that's my son." He said, "I've never seen him cry before. Can you tell me about Jesus?" That day, both father and son were saved. That day, both father and son met the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 55:11 says this. It says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, that shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing to which I sent it." Do you see what happened? Do you see how much power is in God's word? Even one page of scripture. God promises us in Isaiah 55:11. He promises us His word will not return void. It'll accomplish that which He pleases, even one page of scripture. That's the power that we have in God's word. You know, someone somewhere in a church like yours made a donation to the Gideons one day. And that donation maybe made its way to a little scripture like this that wound up in a Texas prison, or maybe one of these little Spanish testaments that wound up in El Salvador. I don't know. But I know it makes a huge difference. What I want to make sure you understand, though, is that the Gideon ministry is not about millions of Bibles. 84 million Bibles is a lot of Bibles. That is not what we're about. We're about millions of changed lives. And that's nothing about us. It's all about God. We are an extension of the church. And we need your help. You want to know how you can help us? The most important thing you can do is pray for the Gideons. Would you just pray that God will provide a steady flow of funds to make the Bibles available, to put them in the hands of the people who need them the most? That's the most important thing you can do. And if God puts it on your heart to go beyond that and to make a financial gift to the Gideons, then of course that'll make a huge difference. A Bible like you see in a hotel is $5. One of those Bibles is $5. In its life in a hotel, on average, it has the chance to see some 2,600 people. You know, one of these small scriptures like this are $1.25. And that's the cost to have it printed and delivered in the hands of the people who need it. The Gideons also have a card program. I don't know if you have a card rack here or not, but we have a card program. The cards are free. Instead of maybe going to the store and buying a card to send someone and say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you," or "I'm praying for you," you know, you can pick up one of these cards from the Gideons. And instead of the money you might have spent on a card, donate a Bible. Donate a Bible and let that person know that you're thinking about them, and in a way that it's really going to last. We've enjoyed being here today. I hope I haven't been too long. And I thank you, Alan, for your support of the Gideons and the words that you said earlier. We thank you all for the opportunity to come. We pray for your church. We pray for your church regularly. We meet on Saturday mornings, and we pray for your pastor and his family as well. We enjoy being here. It's a privilege, and we enjoy worshiping with you, and we just pray God will continue to bless you all. Thank you.